You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined by Adam. And we heard a selection of covers in that set, bands covering this era of Nirvana, the In Utero time period.
So this is really cool because I think this entire block shows the breadth of influence that Nirvana and this album had. You know, a lot of musicians have gone on record saying something to the extent of, you know, liking Nirvana for Nevermind, but really loving them for In Utero, because I think that was a change where a lot of musicians were shown, oh, there are genuine alternatives to what's considered alternative rock, including, you know, vestiges of hardcore and post-hardcore rock that was featured on In Utero. And yet the bands that would be influenced vary so much, including who we heard off last. It was Tess Parks with her rendition of Marigold.
Yeah, this is one of several tracks we played from the Milking It compilation, which is a collection of Canadian bands covering In Utero and songs from that time period. A really great different version of that song. This is a song that was a B-side that Dave Grohl wrote and sang. And I believe, I'm not sure if Kurt was on the song, but
I don't believe he was. I think it was one of the only Nirvana recordings in which he wasn't featured. And it's such a skeletal, very delicate song, something that people probably aren't accustomed to hearing the band perform. And then Tess Parks does something really magic with it. She uses a sort of psychedelic framework to make a very unique version of it with a lot of reverb and echo, just making it feel cavernous. It's such a cool rendition of that.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of unique renditions, now, I wanted to highlight this because Sarah Sims is a Toronto-based electronic musician and, you know, for lack of a better word, pop singer. And even in the popular sphere of music, we're seeing a lot of crossover right now where we're seeing young people who weren't even around at the time when Nirvana were around and playing music, finding this band, discovering it, and taking influence from them. And Sarah Sims is one of those musicians. She released this cover of Heart-Shaped Box as a single a few years back. And yeah, you can definitely hear her pop elements in there with the machine drumming in there. And yet at the same time, there's this gnarly guitar work going on. There's some atonal stuff, which I think is very fitting because you listen to pop music now and there's a lot more atonal, more confrontational elements than I think any other time when you can deem what pop music is. This is doing that. And I think that's kind of cool. It may not be nearly as fantastic as the original version, but it does show the breadth of influence that this band had. As mentioned, that was a single release from Sarah Sims. And before that, we heard a band that I also think is interesting because we're seeing how Nirvana even went on to influence and be paid tribute to bands that were around before them. We heard Canada's own DOA do a version of All Apologies.
This comes from a maybe lesser-known covers album of Nirvana songs called Smells Like Bleach. It's all punk versions of Nirvana songs. And another really great track on that is Dee Dee Ramone of the Ramones did Negative Creep, which we may have played on the show years back. But anyways, really cool rendition from a band you might not expect to cover, especially that song because it's more of a poppy song.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, we heard music from Baptist. We heard them covering Tourette's. This was also released as a single.
That's right. And that one, I think, is very much akin to what Baptists are about. They're a very aggressive hardcore band. And so that fits their genre, their oeuvre. But what definitely deviates a little bit from Nirvana's original version was what we heard before that, a track by Teen Anger, who has been featured many times on the show, doing a kind of mixture of garage and synth rock, and having those elements play out on their cover of Very Ape. Such a unique rendition of that, almost sounding Devo-ish in a way.
A little bit, yeah. Also from the Milking It compilation album, and then prior to that, another band, really great Canadian band, Weather Station, doing their version of Pennyroyal Tea.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this also comes from the Milking It compilation, and the Weather Station is one of those groups where I don't think a lot of people would make any sort of comparison between them and Nirvana, but really when you see this laid out, the story of, I guess you could say, confessional type of singing songwriting with very poetic lyrics that the band comes out with, there are some more connections than people would superficially assume, but regardless, a really great version that almost sounds like a Joni Mitchell Nirvana mashup in a way. Prior to that, a band that definitely had their entire career indebted to Nirvana, a Toronto-based tribute group called Hervana. They didn't have a lot released, but they did have a few video singles, including this, their rendition of Scentless Apprentice. The band has since stopped playing together, but for a few years there, if you wanted to have a good retro 90s night, you could check out a Hervana concert and see them perform your favorite Nirvana songs live. And then we started things off with an almost, I guess you could say, jangly, almost C86-style rendition of Serve the Servants by Breeze.
Yes, and that also comes from the Milking It compilation album. It really is a great covers album. There's a lot of really cool different versions of these songs. And in that set, we just wanted to play some Canadian bands covering Nirvana songs. There's a lot of covers out there, but we wanted to highlight some Canadian artists. And that's it for our covers section of the show. Next, we're going to dip into a little bit of the B-sides, songs recorded at the sessions, outtakes from In Utero, starting off with a track that might be confusing to find because it goes by two different names.
Yeah, it's kind of infamous for this. So originally it was labeled as Verse, Chorus, Verse, even though that's actually a different song from Nirvana. It was originally titled Happy, and subsequently the band has corrected this in liner notes, even though confusion has persisted for decades, especially amongst bootleggers. Well, it did get an official release in 1993 on the No Alternative compilation. Yeah. It was a hidden track, which again was mislabeled.
Yeah, so it's hard to find.
Verse, chorus, verse, and it's a shame because I'm going to say this. I think this might be one of the top 10 songs Nirvana ever wrote. It has the gnarly sounding guitar work of In Utero, yet it has that poppy element that made the songs on Nevermind so catchy and so immediate, and it is also really vague in terms of its lyrical subject matter. There's a lot that you can pull from it. I really do think it's one of the best songs that the band ever released, and it's a shame it was so hard to find for years, but thankfully subsequent reissues and compilations have made it more readily available. But we're going to play this, one of Adam's personal selections for one of the best Nirvana songs ever released, and then get into some other B-sides and I guess you could say studio outtakes from the In Utero sessions.
So yes, we're starting off this next set with Sappy from No Alternative from the 93 compilation, and you're listening to it here on Revolution Rock.
Come on, you and them. yourself. You will make him happy.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam. And we ended off that set with an unreleased track, kind of a jam that the band did. Actually, what's fitting is it came from the same sessions as the first song we played in that set.
Mm-hmm. That was during a 92 Laundry Room sessions that produced the song Sappy, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But the song we heard was given the title Forgotten Tune. It was given different titles throughout the years on various bootlegs, but the first official really release of it was this compilation of outtakes that was accompanying the 20th anniversary edition of In Utero. Really great. And, you know, this accompanies so much speculation about music Cobain and the rest of the band wrote that never saw the light of day. And would this have eventually morphed into a future Nirvana song? We really don't know.
We don't know. And there's another song that we heard in the background earlier. It's just a really extended, noisy jam as well. Prior to that, we heard a B-side. And this was recorded during the sessions and originally intended to be the B-side of the Pennyroyal T single. That was canceled due to Kurt Cobain's passing. And also this track was removed due to the title, called I Hate Myself and I Want to Die. Now, the song itself has nothing to do with the title. It's really just a nonsensical title they threw on there. And it's a really great song, though. And this is a kind of a new mix that they did for the box set in 2013.
Yeah, most people probably are familiar with this as a track from the 1993 Beavis and Butthead Experience release, which was actually, you know, all things considered, a pretty good compilation, like yeah, front to back. But no, a great song, and unfortunately, due to this type of romanticization that happened after Kurt's suicide, a lot of people contributed this as some sort of like tome or like, I don't know, idea of this is a portent of what was bound to happen. No, it was just an arbitrary title. It was very tongue-in-cheek. Regardless, though, it is a fantastic song. As with that first one we heard the version from the No Alternative compilation, released originally back in 1993, actually, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
We heard Sappy, I think one of the best songs the band ever released. And that really does it. Us celebrating 30 years of In Utero by Nirvana. If all you're really familiar with from the group is hearing certain songs ad nauseum on the radio, like, we understand. They were a popular group, but they were so much more than just hits. Really, when you do a deep dive into their discography, especially this one, you hear a really great, noisy rock band that was pushing a lot of boundaries. And speaking of pushing boundaries, I think the last song we're going to play, or as much as we can play of it, really does that.
Yes. This song was recorded during the Rio sessions in 93 when they did demos. And this is a live take that they recorded, just made up on the spot. Gallons of rubbing alcohol that run through the strip. I do love this song. And it was originally on the European version of In Utero. Then it found its way onto this box set. So we're going to end off the show that way. We'll be back next week, same time, same frequency here on CJAM with another special show featuring Graham Silvio. So it's going to be a soul and blues type show. Stay tuned for that next week, and stay tuned for Cowboys and Indies, which is up next at 9.
Mercury.